Welcome to Disruptive Adventism. My name is Jose Briones, and I'll be your host for this podcast. This podcast is about discussing the polemical statements and practices that are part of the Adventist fabric, which in turn shape this belief system to be unique and relevant for today's society. Today's podcast is the first in a series of culture. During this series, we'll be exploring the ideas of gaming, contextualization, music, and decision-making. We hope that you enjoy this monologue and that you start reflecting more about how to engage with culture as an Adventist. Without any more preambles, let us begin. Welcome back, everyone, to Disruptive Adventism. Today is a very special day. I have a couple of announcements to give to all of you who have been listening faithfully. First, I want to thank for all the feedback that we have been receiving, the different ways to approach the program, to the different interviews that have been suggested. We have some special interviews coming up and some awesome people sharing with us how they interact with culture and other topics in the future. But I want to kind of give a couple of announcements before I start talking about culture. The first one is that this is my last monologue, and I'm really excited to say those words because we are going to have two amazing co-hosts coming up in the future introductions and the future discussions about the podcast. And the second one is that we're going to be launching our merchandise coming up in a week and a half. So be looking out for the announcement for that. You can get nice t-shirts, cups, mugs. You can get stickers from Disruptive Adventism. So stay tuned for that. Those are a couple of the announcements that I wanted to share with you. And there's other stuff down the line. There's another series that we're doing. We're going to do one in Law and Order. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of content. So keep visiting disruptiveadventism.org and keep tuning into the podcast. Now, let's turn into our topic of today. Our topic of today is culture. So today is also a special day because it's my birthday. And a couple of years ago, around the early 2000s, I had my last piñata party. And that's kind of like when I transitioned from infancy to puberty. That was my last time where I broke the piñata and, you know, everybody got the candy and we had a nice celebration. I was living in my country of origin. I was in Nicaragua. And I enjoyed the celebration that my parents organized for me. Today, however, I stand in a very different country, far, far away from that small celebration in my mid-sized Nicaraguan town. I am in the Midwest of the United States, speaking a different language than the one from my upbringing, and reflecting on how my culture has shifted during these past 8 years that I have been living in the United States. I have moved from my Central American home. I have had many different experiences here in the United States. I still remember the moment that I landed in LAX, 10:55 p.m. on Christmas Eve. And that Christmas Eve plane saw me change completely. You know, I completely had a cultural shock, a cultural shift. I was not just only Nicaraguan, but now I kind of started to adopting American practices. And culture, as I have come to understand it, is just like the reaction that we have to life. It's the response that a group of people have in their lives when it comes to reality. After some time that I have been here in the United States, as I keep reflecting on how my culture has changed, I realized that I've gone through different periods. First, I was fully Nicaraguan. That's the only culture I knew. Then I came here to this diverse country and I engaged with a different culture and I tried to assimilate to the American culture, the American status, the status quo. And then I realized that that was disregarding my culture, that I was replacing my culture with something different, something that was not my own, and that did not fully exemplify the two countries in which I have lived. So then after a couple of years, especially during the past couple of years, 2-3 years, I started to recover more of my Latin American background, more of my being proud of who I am from my country, but also recognize that I am shaped, I have been shaped differently in the United States. My adult life has been happening in the United States, and I need to recognize that I have certain biases and certain ways. So everyone kind of does a different thing when it comes to culture. After some time that I have been living here, I've lived in five different states, and I have encountered a different culture in each and every one of those states. Let it be from Tennessee, you know, volunteer, very service-oriented hospitality culture, to a more relaxed culture, openness from California, or maybe a more kind of like serious but still playful kind of life from Marylanders. You know, I have encountered different cultures, different ways of approaching life. And everything that I have seen is that different people react differently to reality. For example, one of the striking differences that I have always noticed in this country when it comes to burying the dead is that in my country, the reaction that we have to the dead is that we still participate in the ritual of burial. We dig, we shape, we prepare the place for those who have ceased to be. In the United States, the reaction is a little bit different. You know, the sanitary procedures have taken kind of over the family's involvement on the task of letting go people to the grave. You know, there's no more like you dig, you don't participate. So that's kind of like a different reaction. And different countries have different ways of reacting to different things. Let it be music, let it be letting the dead go, let it be just the way that we talk. You know, I'm a very loud person per se. And in certain parts of the United States, that's kind of fine. But in other parts, it may not be as accepted. People want to be more cautious. So everyone has a different culture. And as we continue exploring this theme throughout the next couple of interviews, I want you to kind of notice, what is your approach to culture? How do you react to life? How is that different from how other people react to life? The reality is that, you know, we can make arguments to, oh, this culture is better to that one. And that kind of creates a strata of cultures. Oh, you know, American culture is better than Hispanic culture at this, but Hispanic culture is better than American culture at this. And I don't think that's a very positive approach to culture, because the reality is that wherever you move, you have to adopt the customs of the land. You have to recontextualize yourself. Sure, you still have to keep some of your natural, your inbred matters, those things that are within your culture. So for example, here in the United States, I still celebrate the 14th and 15th of September as the day in which my country was liberated, my country got independency. I still call my parents, I still tell them, hey, you know, we're happy. I still retain that part of me, or I still retain my language. I still retain that part of my culture that is very, very attached to myself. So wherever I go, even though I copy, I kind of accustom to the different traditions of the land, culture, my specific culture still needs to shine, still needs to interact, still needs to shape. And I think that's the beautiful thing about the United States, that it is, quote unquote, a melting pot. We haven't interacted very well with that, but the beautiful thing about the melting pot is that we can adopt all the positive things about culture. So let's see, adopt the hospitality thing from Hispanics and adopt the life and the joy that Caribbeans have, adopt the seriousness and task management and calendar-oriented way of Germans or, you know, Europeans. And let's interact with culture in such a way that it doesn't put culture one against the other. Same thing happens when it comes to Christian culture and American culture. There are some things in American culture that are not the best, and there are some things in Christian culture that are not the best either, that need to be shaped, that need to be experienced in different dialogues, and that need to be improved. So when you move, when I move, when I try to do different things in the world, I always go with a Spanish saying, and English also has it, but Spanish, I think it encapsulates the meaning a little bit better. So in Spanish, we say, donde fueres, haz lo que vieres, which means in English, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. I like the Spanish version because it's more closer to wherever you go, do as you see. Because it doesn't matter if it's only in Rome, but it's anywhere you go, any place, any new institution, any new church. Don't try to superimpose your culture, but understand that you need to come into a point where you interact with the other people and shape the culture to be better. And culture is such a diverse word. People are culture. Actions are culture. Life is culture. Every one of us has a culture and a way of being and reacting to the world. All of us has this contribution to the world that we can shape it to be better, a better place to live for all of us. A people without a culture are just a collection of individuals without life. That's why, in the words of Mahatma Gandhi, he said something along the lines of, the culture of a nation resides in the hearts and in the soul of its people. When I react about that, I just think about, hey, you know what? Culture is not a bad thing. It's something that needs to be interacted with. Culture is not perfect. Don't get me wrong. We have experienced cultural biases throughout the history of the world, from the disregarding of human life during colonial times, totalitarian regimes, lack of appreciation of different people groups. We still have that, especially when it comes to gender conversations or race conversations. But I think that we are continuing to awake this ethic, this ability that seeks peace among not the only human counterparts, not only with one another and the different colors that we have and the different traditions that we have, but also with the environment. Culture has proved that it's always open to change, that it's always ready to be improved. One story that comes to mind as I start closing this podcast, this first introductory podcast on culture, is Jesus Christ. You know, I'm a Christian and I'm not ashamed of saying it, but when I see the life of Jesus, I see a heavenly being with a very different culture than the culture of the earth. He's not sinful, but he comes down and he contextualizes to the Jewish people, to the Roman people, and he always lives out a higher degree of appreciation for life, a higher culture that supersedes, or that permeates rather, because creating this balance where Jesus' culture is better kind of creates this dichotomy between thinking that, no, actually what Jesus came to do was not to say, hey, my culture is better, adopt it, but hey, these are the principles that need to be shaped within, that everyone needs to permeate with, that everyone needs to adopt to have a better life. And that's what we call kingdom living, kingdom culture, kingdom ethics. But when I see the life of Jesus, he decides to come down and to interact with us and to make us better, to decide to shape culture in such a way that it doesn't detriment it, but it improves it. So I think my hope is that as we continue to go throughout life, we all build a culture closer and closer to the aspirations of having humanity, dignity, and love for one another. The aspirations that Jesus puts it best than anyone else when he says in John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you need to love one another. That to me is the most powerful challenge that one can give to any kind of culture, any kind of idea. If we put each other first, not only how he loves us, but how he loves the world as a whole, his whole creation. If we put that as our ideal and as the way that we're going to understand culture, I think we can make significant changes that really help us understand that culture is not something evil, but something that needs to be interacted with, something that needs to be perfected, something that needs to be shaped by not only one kind of group of people, but by everyone that is around. Thank you for listening today. If you're enjoying the podcast or other content that we're producing here at Disruptive Adventism, we want to invite you to consider contributing through our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/disruptiveadventism. Your contribution helps us continue to create a space where Adventism expands its relevance in today's society. I also hope that our content has intrigued you a little bit and that you decide to stay around for future podcasts. If you have any comments, feedback, or a topic you would like us to discuss, please go to our website at www.disruptiveadventism.org or shoot us an email to disruptiveadventism@gmail.com. We're eager to engage in discussions about any matter, so don't hesitate to contact us. This has been it for today. We hope you join us next time. And as always, we invite you to be disruptive.